Welcome to Parallel Lines, episode 11. We're into double figures. We're actually a couple of weeks after the Women in Rail Awards, but we just need to explain what's going to happen next. And rather like Big Brother, where you get Big Brother's little brother afterwards or whatever, this is Women in Rail's little sister, because we're looking back at Women in Rail and we were after the event. So you better recap what was going on.
Yeah, so this is Women in Rail Awards' little sister, but we're actually at the CIRO Jubilee Lunch, which is a bit more brothers in the room than sisters, although there are a few of us around. So, yeah, this is a reflection on the wonderful event that we had for the Women in Rail Awards and some of the fantastic people that we got a chance to speak to.
And just to clarify, we were collaring people as they were leaving the event. So they were quite weary of celebrating. And it was, I think we started recording after midnight. So bear in mind, as you listen to all these people talking, they are brilliant, because I can't believe how fluent and how good their answers were, bearing in that they should have been tucked up in their beds or at least on a taxi on the way home.
Yeah, so if we hadn't have billed this as Women in Rail Awards Little Sister Awards, I would have liked it to have been something about inspirational leaders who are wonderful speakers episode, because actually it was so impressive. The moment we pressed record, these people turned from, you know, party revelers who were ready to go home and hang their shoes up into consummate professionals who absolutely had their lines nailed and were articulate, enthusiastic and passionate about the railway, which is all we could have ever asked for from them.
Here are a few people who are leaving the Women in Rail Awards talking to us about the event and generally about them trying to make the railway a more diverse workplace.
So obviously those who were running the Women in Rail Awards were understandably very busy on the night, and one of the headliners that we failed to grab on the way out or in to the awards was of course the wonderful Marie Daly, who is the chair of Women in Rail. We did want to speak to her on the night, but she was busy and then probably tired actually after what would have been a really long day, and we let her go home. So Tony managed to grab her at another event that she was starring in a few weeks later and just get some kind of post-event reflections from her. She's absolutely fantastic, Marie, great friend of mine in the industry, and was a great support to me in the short time that we overlapped when she came in as chair and I was still chair of the Northwest Women in Rail Group, which I am no longer. She's now Chief Operating Officer at Transport for Wales, which is a great move for her professionally, and what she's doing at Women in Rail is great. So here's what she had to say to Tony.
We were all too hectic after Women in Rail to talk directly, but as chair of Women in Rail, Marie, how do you think it went?
I think it was an unbelievable evening. The feedback we've had has been unbelievably positive, and that's from people getting together, the energy in the room, and just celebrating some amazing women in our industry and those who support women in our industry as well, which I think is really important. So overall, we're really, really proud of our flagship awards, and we just look forward to being able to share more of the great stories that were there on the night.
There were some quite emotional moments as well, with some of the people that have gone above and beyond and are being ambassadors for inclusivity, not just women in rail, but all sorts of inclusivity. So, there were some moist eyes at moments as well. So that was interesting that people are seeing the bigger story and behind some of the journeys the people have been on.
Definitely, and I think what I'm finding more, and we talked about on the night, is people want to use their own privilege to support other people, and actually they themselves find that as rewarding as the support they've had in their career journeys. So it's most definitely a feeling of you are giving and getting, and I think you could see that on the night as well.
So Women in Rail over the next year, what are the challenges? What would you like to see happening in terms of Women in Rail in 2025, 26?
So we've made a big commitment within our business plan. What I'm really pleased to say is that we've got a plan behind it to deliver it. We'll be reaching out to our members to ask for people to get involved, because actually to deliver it, we are a charity, we are volunteers, so we do need a lot of support to really get the energy around some of these programs. But our big focus this year, last year, was around getting our corporate sponsors and really, really building that, the profile with them, building the work we're doing with them, because it's really important because they fund us. Yeah, so we need that money, but we also need to demonstrate to the industry what we're doing with that to make change for women and take the collective voice of women. But next year for me, my two big priorities are our regional leaders and their teams, because they touch our members and they're out there with the voice of Women in Rail. So a big focus from the trustees is creating that connection with the regional leads and supporting them delivering the business plan. and getting that voice back in. And also one of our Never Mind the Gap, it's one of our programmes. It's looking how we get career returners back into the rail industry as a key way to attracting. So we're keen to really move that programme on this year, and then just deliver the great stuff with mentoring with South Swift. And then I think you heard me say it on the night, the thing that I'm truly, truly passionate about in this role is giving frontline colleagues a voice, developing our frontline proposition under Heather Waugh that looks just the same as our Swift leadership programme, and we can make sure that we're dealing with issues at all levels across the industry.
Women in Rail Awards, just amazing, and it gets bigger and bigger every year, doesn't it?
It does, it continues to get bigger. In fact, we might need a bigger boat, Tony. Where are we going next?
We need a bigger venue.
People just wanted to tell us about this wonderful event and wanted to talk to us about this wonderful industry that we're part of. This is too good to miss. The two pink ladies of LNER. I mean, this is golden. It's not golden, it's pink. Right, please introduce yourself, Liz.
I'm Paula. I'm the People Director at LNER.
I'm Colette. I'm the Customer Experience Director at LNER.
You were headline sponsors, so what makes you want to be so big behind Women in Rail? What was it you thought, this is something we should really support?
I think, you know, we really need to change the industry, and we've done so much, but we need to do much more. So getting more women into rail, into the fabulous businesses that we have, and we've done so much. We've got 44% representation of females in our business.
And what was the highlights for you tonight? What have you enjoyed most?
Oh, I think, to be fair, Paula's speech was phenomenal. I think she really epitomised what we were all thinking in terms of where we've come from. And actually, I think now we are really on the cusp of something pretty fantastic within the industry. So let's hope we can grasp it. And all the formidable people in the team today have been amazing. So it's great, fantastic.
We encountered three managing directors almost at the same time. You know, you wait ages for a managing director and then three come along at once. So we've got Steve White from Southeastern and
Chris Jackson from TransPennine Express and Mike Bagshaw, who was then of the MTR Elizabeth line, although obviously that has now changed in the time that's passed. So yeah, we need to come up with a new collective noun for MDs, because I'm not sure there is one at the moment. We can answers on a postcard, yeah, dear listeners.
Send us your suggestion for a collective noun for railway company managing directors. David Horn, reaction to Women in Rail Awards 2025?
What a fantastic celebration of the impact that Women in Rail have had over the last few years. You know, of course, this is all about celebrating the companies, the teams, and especially the individuals who have been making a difference, who have been really great role models for the career opportunities that exist throughout our industry for everyone. What an absolutely brilliant night. Great to see awards won tonight by people from across the industry. Great to see Network Rail colleagues picking up some awards. And some real fresh talent coming through our industry, which is really encouraging for the future. Having been involved in some of the very early events that Women in Rail organised, the impact being felt tonight is really ever present. You know, absolutely brilliant to see the celebration tonight, and great to see Paula Bullock, our People Director from LNER, up on stage as well, giving us the after dinner inspiring speech. Absolutely great night.
Chris Jackson, Managing Director, TransPennine Express.
And Mike Bagshaw, Managing Director, MTR Elizabeth Line.
And I'd like to say they're both friends of mine, I hope. And we just would like to, for a second, just say Women in Rail Awards. It's been going for over a decade now. And I think I've seen you here a few times, guys. You know, you've been here over the years. Just give us a little bit of a thought on why it's cool, why you're here.
Well, firstly, I've got to say, I think the event's been amazing today. I think you can tell it, probably listening to my voice feels a little bit hoarser than normal because I've been shouting and cheering. It's been great to see so many inspirational women up on stage. I think Marie did a great job hosting it. That's Marie Daly. And the quality of the production has just been out of this world. And do you know what my team on the table have been saying? That, can I say this? Compared to the National Rail Awards, the buzz today has just been much, much better and bigger. And I think it's just felt like more of a family type feel today. Yeah, it's the buzz, I think, has been much bigger than the NRAs. And do you know what, especially from a TPE perspective, I said some time ago that, you know, we've been through a difficult time. We'd return TPE to the award-winning ways of the past. We've missed out a few occasions in the last couple of years, but today, we've won Employer of the Year, and of course Lucy Lightbound, Apprentice of the Year as well. We're really, really proud of Lucy. We're really, really proud of what we've done in the business. So yeah, it's just nice to celebrate it today.
What do you think it was it that made them see you as Employer of the Year? What have you done that makes them recognise that?
Well, it's nothing that I've done, it's what the team have done. You know, they champion diversity. Yeah, we've got a long way to go. I think we're 24% female, which actually is quite good for the railway industry, believe it or not. We've heard some examples of other businesses that are much better. We know we need to do much more, because 24%, whilst it might stand out as being quite good for the rail industry, we know that compared to other industries, it's way below where we need to be. So there's a lot of work that we need to do. We're on with it, and we're going to really crank up that percentage over the next couple of years. And I'm really proud of the team, of all the plans that they've got in place, that they're delivering to get better female representation in Transpennine Express.
You've got a railway that's named after a lady, so you've got an extra challenge as well, haven't you? But it's great to see the recognition here. How are you working in your business to make sure that the workforce is balanced appropriately and reflects the future of the nation, I suppose?
Well, absolutely. I mean, it's been a great event tonight. I mean, I've been in the rail industry for 35 years and how the rail industry's changed. And it was really good to hear the presentations tonight that sort of articulate what it used to be like and how we've moved. Some of the things we're doing with MTR Elizabeth Line, we've done a lot of work to role model, to encourage females and people from different ethnic backgrounds to go for jobs, to go for the sort of promotions. We recognise, particularly whilst we're diverse at certain levels in our organisation, we made real progress with train drivers. We're not as diverse as we need to be at senior management level and exec level. So one of the things we've done to address that is create what we call a colleague exec. So it's like a shadow board. So we've got a sort of diverse range of people from across our organisation to bring different thought process, different challenges, different ideas, so that can feed into our business exec, so we get more diverse thought process and also create role models for organisations to encourage, you know, a more diverse workforce going forward. Because I think it's important that we have diversity at all levels of our organisation, not just front line, but right the way through junior management, middle management, senior management and exec level as well.
So we invited a couple of MDs to give us a soundbite, give them a microphone and we get a speech and a manifesto. So, you know, we should expect that from these trained pros, shouldn't we? Well,
but interestingly, because for you, Chris, you've got to get more drivers into the business. And recently it's been announced, you know, we're opening the age range and everything for drivers, but you're now going to welcome... I've been sat next to a female train driver all night.
Yeah, yeah.
Train driving is something that anybody from any background, from any gender, from any whatever it can be, and it's not the traditional thing. Anybody is welcome to do it.
Times are changing, and we heard some great stats from LNER today, from Paula, who was Paula Bullock, the HR director, people director at LNER. They are making some great strides with female recruitment into driver roles. We all want to do the same. We've got to move with the times, and we're making some great strides in that space ourselves. But one of the reasons why we only have 24% of our colleagues as females is because we are underrepresented in driving grades and conductor grades, and we know we need to do much more. And by the way, you've got a bit of a fan base here who've been asking.
Your fans?
No, they're your fans. They've been saying, that's Anna Jane Hunter and that's Tony Miles, and what's the name of their podcast? So you're going to tell them now, aren't you?
We'll be able to tell them.
They accuse you of being Green Signals podcast. I said, no.
Who is it who's just arrived to talk to us?
Oh, hi, I'm Shamit Gager. I am the Managing Director for West Coast Partnership Development and the Chair for Campaign for Better Transport.
You're a trustee of Women in Rail, so how important is it that Women in Rail continues to develop and increase the diversity in the industry?
So we need to grow a pipeline of talent that is gender balanced so that we have better leaders for the future. So it is vital for us to be diverse. Diversity of thought, diversity in gender, diversity in background, experience, everything.
The room is full of trustees, but this trustee is...
Sharon Salmon. I work for Network Rail, and I'm a supply manager, and I'm a trustee, and I look after our corporate members.
You've done quite well tonight with Network Rail. There was a lot of people being recognised in the awards tonight. So do you think that recognises you're making progress in increasing the diversity in the business?
I think it's great having that recognition, and I may be a bit biased with the awards, the Women in Rail Awards. I think they're really special awards because it really does bring women to the forefront. We give women a platform to be able to showcase what they do and to really increase gender equality in the railway industry.
I just caught a quick hello with Sir Andrew Haynes as he was departing, but he's departing Network Rail as well. But it was recognised from the stage that he's tried to increase the recognition of diversity within industry. So is that something, a legacy that he's leaving that you need to build on?
Absolutely. He has been totally supportive of diversity and inclusion within Network Rail. And when we set up our employee networks, he was always a big advocate. He came along and supported the networks and was able to offer his time to give us his expert knowledge. So we're incredibly grateful for that. And his legacy should be left. We don't want to undo the great work that he and all the other people that have done within Network Rail to make it become more inclusive.
It's Steve White, Managing Director of South Eastern. You've got some awards tonight, you've got some recognition there.
We want to attract everybody that can imagine a future in railway where they can help society. We want to attract that talent into our industry, and we want everybody to be able to thrive, whatever their background, whatever their gender. Women in Rail is just such a fabulous, fabulous programme. It's making a real difference. You could feel that in the room tonight, and it was just great to witness it. And we saw some amazing winners, didn't we? We saw people who were contributing to this industry on a scale that we haven't seen before, and this is literally just going from strength to strength.
It's time we had a few more women MDs, really, isn't it? You know, maybe your successor should be a female.
Honestly, it's just a matter of time. There's great talent in this industry. It's coming through at grassroots level, it's coming through into middle management, and it's coming through into the senior population. It's just a matter of time. We saw Laura Schoaf on the stage today. She's the chair of the shadow Great British Railways. You know, it's a really big role in the industry. Our Secretary of State is a female. This is an industry that's accepting of, you know, gender equity, and we're very proud of that, and long may it continue, and let's push it as far as we can, as fast as we can.
One of my most favourite senior managers from Network Rail, it's a shortlist, is here tonight. Rachel, do you want to say hello?
Hello, my name is Rachel Heath. I'm Operations Director for Network Rail in Wales and Borders.
We need to talk to Rachel properly sometime. Rachel, when did you and I first work together?
The first time we met, Anna Jane gave me some very important career advice when Eurolom, and I was a train manager still with cross country.
But no, we'll do a future episode of how does a train manager become an operations director?
Who knows? I'm not sure, but I winged it and I made it. So maybe that is another episode that we should discuss.
We look forward to talking to you in a future episode.
Tell us who you are and a little bit of a night that you've had.
So I'm Phil Sherratt, CEO of the Charter Institute of Railway Operators. It's been a great night. I've been to this event lots of times. It's a fabulous venue, great people, and a great celebration. We were shortlisted. We didn't win. We were robbed. But other than that, it's been a great night.
And the next generation of railway operators, it's got to get people from all sectors of society into it, hasn't it? So that's one of your challenges.
Absolutely. And we need to build an industry that provides lifelong careers for people and that has a workforce that reflects the society as a whole. And that's our challenge. But I think if you ask all the people in here tonight, they would say that rail is a great place to work. And there's more that we need to do to do that around making it inclusive, providing opportunities, providing training for people, providing development. But there's so much that we can do, and ultimately we make a difference.
And I would like to think that the success of CIRO is that maybe you feel like you were robbed tonight in a specific award, but actually you might have played a contributory role in lots of other people's awards, because surely your role is to be, you know, part of the journey of a whole bunch of people, and ultimately a big part of career progression for, you know, for the industry. That's what you're there for, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I think whenever I take a train journey, there will be the fingerprints of someone who's interacted with us on there somewhere. Well, our members, it might be the driver, it might be the person who did the timetable planning or the rostering. or it might be the guard. It's this, because operations is central to everything. So absolutely, our influence is bigger than people think, and that's what I try and remind the people who work for us, is what we do is important, and it makes a difference, and it makes all those journeys possible. People, the thousands of people who commute, the family reunions, the freight that gets delivered, it all happens.
And we have a little bit of a teaser, don't we, Tony?
We have. It's going to be like Ant and Dec. It's going to be Saturday night takeaway. Who are we talking to?
My name is Jenny Dempsey, and I am from South Shields.
So in the future, we're going to talk to you in a few weeks' time about things like insides of trains.
Yes, not about South Shields. We will talk about the insides of trains. We will talk about life as an SME in the rail industry right now. We'll talk about how many women I've got in my business and how tonight has been really inspirational for that, and how proud I am to have a 60-40 split of two women in my business.
I mean, Hawaii. This is exciting, isn't it? That deserved a Hawaii, didn't it, Tony?
Subtitles will be available for those who are listening. That's coming up on a future episode of Parallel Lines.
One of the people we met was Ben Goodwin, who's from Alstom. And as well as talking about Women in Rail Awards, he was very keen to tell us about the Greatest Gathering, which is one of the biggest celebration bits of Rail 200. So we're going to play it now to finish the podcast, because it's only on in 6 weeks' time, so there's not a lot of time for you to think about it. But he was very enthusiastic about it, wasn't he?
Yeah, so just in case any of you have been living under a rock, you may and should be aware that this year, 2025, is 200 years of the passenger railway in the UK. And this is a huge opportunity for us to celebrate all the wonderful history that our wonderful industry has, the people, the engineering, the heritage, the legacy that we've created over the last 200 years. And Ben could not have been a better advocate for one of the events, one of the many events that's going to be going on in celebration of Railway 200. So, yeah, we were really pleased to get to chat to him about it.
My name's Ben Goodwin. I'm the Communications Director at Alstom for UK and Ireland.
One of the things about not just Women in Rail this year, they're celebrating 200 years of railways.
Yeah, 200 years of railways. Tell us what's going on. It's 200 years of the railway this year.
Why should we come to Derby?
Well, first of all, Women in Rail, 200 years. Did you know that the first train spotter is a female?
Never.
Fanny Johnson, 14 years old, 1861, and she is the first recorded train spotter. She used to, I think she was on the Great Western Railway network, and she would write down the numbers of the trains that would pass her. I think it was a farm that she lived on. So yeah, Women in Rail.
I love that for Fanny on her farm on the Western.
With
that's
a noble.
Awesome.
With a noble.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So anyway,
I'm just all about the women tonight. We're at Women in Rail.
So tell us about this big thing at Derby that we all need to go to.
Well, it's 200 years since Locomotion Number 1 did that first journey. Alstom, through successive mergers and acquisitions, that first company that built that first Locomotion Number 1 is now part of the Alstom estate. So we are the custodian of that legacy, if you like, because that company doesn't exist anymore. It's part of the Alstom estate. So we are delighted to be hosting a signature event, if you like, for Railway 200 at Litchurch Lane, which is where we produce rolling stock in the UK. And we are going to be hosting the Greatest Gathering, where we are bringing in excess of 50 locomotives, pieces of rolling stock, to Litchurch Lane. It's the largest rolling stock factory in the world outside of China, 90 acres. We're going to fill the whole site with trains, family activities. It's going to be amazing. 1st, 2nd, 3rd of August.
So I keep getting asked, what's your favourite train? So I'm not going to reveal it now. You know, because I've asked for it to
I
be
do
there.
Know but, what, and, but, it, so, and you know that it's coming as well. I don't think we've announced it yet,
so exciting. What's your favourite train?
I think you know the answer. I have joint favourites. So I'm a huge fan of an HST. But I also...
We've got you sorted, babes. Don't worry.
I also love a bit of 3-2-3 action, I've got to be honest.
Oh, my goodness. Have we got a 3-2-3?
I cannot confirm or deny. So I grew up in York. I worked at the National Railway Museum when I was growing up, and I worked Railfest 2012, which was probably the last time we had such a great gathering of locomotives. So they had 50 locomotives. I said, right, Alstom, Litchurch Lane, if we can get 51, we can legitimately call it Britain's biggest railway gathering. I think we're going to smash that, and we've got so many things coming. We've got the world's fastest diesel, the HST's coming. We've got the oldest working standard gauge steam locomotive. We've got so many narrow gauge coming. And also the future as well. You know, we've got hydrogen. We've got the new stuff that's coming out as well. And we know from the tickets that we've sold 10,000 tickets a day. So we've got 30,000 people coming to Derby. The interest around the world for this event has been incredible. We know that people are coming from Australia. We've got people coming from Canada, South America. We've got French national television coming. We've got journalists from Poland, Spain, Portugal, Italy. They all want to be there because this is something that is for the world. I think this is going to be a really special moment for the country and for everyone involved. So I can't wait.
So thanks for listening to a really different format of Parallel Lines. Let us know via the email address if you like this. You know, it's something different that we thought we'd try to bring you access to some people and some things that were a little bit off the hoof. But let us know if it works. We think it did and we enjoyed doing it. But obviously it matters what you like listening to. Normal service will resume next time.
And who have we got coming up in the next podcast?
I'm very pleased to say we've got the most wonderful Stacey Thundercliff, who is a fantastic female engineer in the industry, and we'll be talking more about what she has done, is doing, is going to be doing in the future, and maybe building on some thoughts on things that we've talked about before, Tony.
See you on the next episode.